We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Lots of changes over the last couple of weeks in college athletics. More changes last night from the NCAA, and we're going to catch up with Ben Herbert, who's probably dealing with one of the most difficult situations, and that is training 100-plus student-athletes from distance. We'll talk to him next on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
Our job is to create the best plan for our program to continue to move forward and to continue to grow in the most creative ways we can do that, and that's what we've been focused on.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
Welcome back, friends. Over the last couple of weeks, we have had Brian Greasy, we've had John Jumbo Elliott, Ward Manuel, and our 100th episode celebration. We want to continue to bring you as much content as possible over the coming weeks as we all try and fill the void left by no college athletics, by no pro sports. So stay tuned here. We'll continue to provide you with as much content as possible regarding Michigan athletics and Michigan football. Today, we're going to have Ben Herbert, the strength and conditioning coach at Michigan, and we'll get to him in just a few minutes, but I want to bring in my partner because we haven't heard too much from him, although we did on that 100th episode, at my expense, but I do want to hear from Brian Bush, the play-by-play voice of Michigan basketball. Brian, how are you doing?
I'm doing about as well as you can during the circumstances. Still been a very bizarre time, but hey, these have been therapeutic for me. I think they have been for you, and hopefully they have been for our fans as well.
They have been, you know, and it keeps us talking about Michigan athletics. It keeps us talking about football and everything that we have to look forward to instead of continually looking back and trying to deal with the situation that we are dealt with currently. But before we get to Ben Herbert and dealing with training student athletes from afar, let's do our 7 from 77.
Yeah, and you know what? First things first, number one, I want to do this, and I want everybody to kind of ask this of themselves. How you holding up? How the family holding up?
Everybody's doing good. You know, the kids, we've found a good rhythm. I do most of my radio shows and obviously recording the podcasts, you know, from about 6 in the morning until about noon or 1 o'clock. And then after that, so they do their schoolwork at that time. After that, it becomes dad, the PE teacher, and we are riding bikes, we're running, we're playing baseball, basketball, tennis, any sport you can think of. And then we always throw in there a little extra reading time, which I found to be very enjoyable for me. And so it's, I think the kids are enjoying that as well. Gives them a time to, you know, separate a little bit from the pack and spend some alone time. And still, one of the things that I have noticed over the last 2 weeks, and it's been something that I'm hoping that a lot of parents are noticing, one of the concerns going into this, you know, stay home, stay safe situation we're in here in the state of Michigan was that kids would just be on their devices all the time. And I've found that to actually be the opposite. The kids are missing school. They want to do their schoolwork. They wanted to read. They want to get outside and be active. So if you could take a positive from this, it's the fact that the kids have realized how much they need social interaction, actually face-to-face contact instead of FaceTime or Skype or whatever it is. And they actually like being outside and doing some you know activity. How about you, Brian? How have you been?
You know what? It's been all right. Obviously, I'm getting a little... What's the opposite of homesick? Sick of home, I guess. That's certainly part of it. But the reality is, in these types of situations, I think it's so important to count your blessings as opposed to recounting your frustrations. And, you know, my family's healthy. My girlfriend, as I've talked about, has, you know, continued to work, and she continues to be healthy. She's taking her temperature before going to work every day, trying to take the necessary precautions. And, you know, I think the advice that we've heard from Dr. Fauci, from some of the other experts nationally, is simple. Act as if you have the virus. Don't act as if you are, you know, completely healthy. Just assume that you have it and measure your actions from that perspective. And if you do that, I think that's going to help in the long run as we all hope that this ends as quickly as possible. So hopefully everyone else out there is doing well, is hanging in there. It's tough. We're in this together and we'll be okay. Number two, there was a big ruling based on the outbreak, based on coronavirus, the NCAA granting an extra year of eligibility to all spring sport athletes. What are your thoughts on that? And also the fact that they did not do it for winter sports athletes.
I think it was a common sense action and one that was ethically right. And we could get into some of the details about how it will be implemented in just a minute. But I'm okay with the winter sports. I know that let's call a spade, it sucks that they didn't get to finish their season. Most of the regular seasons were done. It was championship season in almost all of the sports. And so not being able to complete the season, I understand that is a huge part of the goals of these student athletes. I would have been absolutely crushed if we weren't allowed to go to a bowl game because of something like this. It would have felt incomplete. But when you look back, you say, okay, well, they had finished their regular season. They had accomplished or had an opportunity to accomplish a lot of things. However, the spring sports were just getting started. Most of them, you know, hadn't even either begun competition or were in the infant stages of their season. So I can understand and sympathize with the NCAA and how hard this decision was. And most people probably think, yeah, this seems like it would be common sense. And it is, except when you start to get into the details, because the devil is always in the details. We heard last week that the NCAA will not be distributing as much money to the tune of $300 million plus to the institution. So there's going to be a financial hit for canceling the spring sports this year, for canceling the NCAA tournament and all the revenue that would have come in that regard. And in looking forward, I know this is another question we'll get into in regards to the football season. We'll talk about that in a minute, but there are a lot of universities that are, every university is looking at their budget and every athletic department is looking at their budget going, wow, this is tough. If we're going to take on basically an extra class of student athletes, and that's what this ruling basically does. It gives, so here's the basics of it. Every student athlete that was competing in their final year of competition this spring will be granted a waiver and allowed to compete again next year. So if it was a fourth year senior, they'll get a fifth year senior. They'll get a fifth year. If it was a fifth year senior, they'll be granted that waiver to get the sixth year. So they'll still be able to compete in their 4 years of eligibility that they had here at the University of Michigan. What the NCAA did was they said, you know, we are going to make this a decision that the institutions have to make in regards to financial aid. They can grant, you know, everybody eligible, but it will depend on if the spring sports had, say your baseball pitcher was on a half scholarship or whatever percentage it is, because you can break them up in these sports, they will have the opportunity to match that or even, or go a little bit less. So there's going to be some tough decisions made by the coaching staffs of the spring sports and by the athletic departments in regards to, okay, what is our budget going to be moving forward? There is a fund from the NCAA. It's called the Student Assistance Fund, and they, universities can get into that to pay for scholarships, but the NCAA did not say how much is in that fund, how much will be available to each individual school. So there's still some question marks as to how this will financially play out. I do think it's good for the kids that lost the opportunity this year to compete in their last year of eligibility. Moving forward, the burden is going to be on the coaching staffs and the athletic departments in regards to financing this move.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. And, from the winter sports perspective, obviously it's easy to think about guys like Xavier Simpson and John Teske and seniors across the country who didn't get that perfect ending to their seasons. But I do think it was right. I think you had to give it to the spring sports. Keep in mind, on the winter side, a lot of teams had already finished their regular seasons. Obviously, not everybody's going to the postseason. It would have been a logistical nightmare. And to your point, John, if they would have extended this to winter sports athletes, there would have been even more difficult topics. And I don't know how realistic it would have been for a lot of schools at the mid-major level to try to help with the scholarships for seniors if both winter and spring athletes were indeed brought back. So I think it was the right move. You're trying to make the best of a bad situation. But obviously, knowing that guys like Xavier Simpson and John Teske are officially 100% done, it still is difficult to swallow, even though I think a lot of people feel this was the right decision.
I know we're going to talk about this again in just a couple of questions here in the 7 from 77, but I'm just going to give you one term that comes out of last night's decision, and that is precedent. They have now set a precedent, and this is part of what the concern was in voting to allow these student athletes that extra year eligibility, is that they have set precedent in moving forward in different situations that may come up and how they will deal with them in the future.
Yeah, I mean, this is an unprecedented situation. People have to get flexible, they have to get creative, and that's what we're seeing. Number three, we're going to get into this a little bit with Ben Herbert, the Wolverine strength and conditioning coach, but he'll talk about it from that perspective. For the team as a whole, how have you heard the players, coaches, et cetera, adjusted to this new reality, both for this season and from a recruiting perspective?
Well, it's really forced them to communicate in ways that they haven't communicated before. Yes, we text. Yes, we email. Yes, we Skype and FaceTime and all that when we're at distance. But I think there's a lot of, and I've done this, and I was talking to Sean McGee in the football program yesterday, that what I miss is the interaction of being in Schembechler Hall, of even just walking by and passing in the hall and just saying hi, how you doing? It seems like a very, everybody says that, even to strangers, but it's that interaction that you miss. And right now, I think the players are forced to check in on each other, make sure that one, that they're healthy, make sure that they're, and the leaders of this team are making sure that everybody's working out, that they're finishing their schoolwork. The academic staff, the coaches are all in communication with their players, probably more so than they would be at any other time or in any other situation at this time of the year. If a situation like this, which has, spread Michigan football players all across the country back to their hometowns, if you could even imagine that this has somehow brought them closer together, it's real. I'm watching it happen, and I think this is unique. And it's, I would like to say it's unique to Michigan football, but I really believe it's unique to all of sports across the college platform, because you are forced to communicate. You can't just go off and be on your own, you're forced to go through all those different forms, and it is forcing people to talk to each other more, which I think is an important factor in creating the cohesiveness of this team.
I really think, just like the pandemic itself, we're going to see the effects of this based on all of our interactions at the end, all of our efforts at the end. I think we're going to see the impact of the ramifications at the end, once we get a chance to get back together to experience things together as opposed to doing it digitally. Number four, John, we're not health experts, but this is certainly a topic that has started to come up. It will continue to come up. At this point, your gut feeling, are you worried about football in 2020?
I'm worried about a lot of things. And for me to make a prediction or have a feeling about what could happen in August or September, I think I've learned enough over the last couple of weeks. And Brian, you and I, who have tried to put out, you know, podcasts, there have been days where we record something and then 30 minutes later, literally 30 minutes later, it becomes irrelevant news. So we are in a situation where it's almost impossible for us to have any legitimate feeling or perspective on what 5 months down the road might look like, or what we'll be able to do, or how we'll be able to do it. So I don't have any wise words to say. And I think a lot of people would love to hear us talk about, oh yeah, there's going to be college football. That would be ridiculous. And there are some people that are banging the drum. Kurt Herbstreit from Game Day is one that has already come out and said he'd be shocked if we had college football. I think that is something that I don't know that anybody should be saying right now, because we just don't know enough information. And so when I think about that question, I get a pit in my stomach. I'll tell you that, because I can't imagine life without football or a football season as we know it. And there are a lot of options. And, you know, I know Ward Manuel. I know all the athletic directors in the Big Ten. I've talked to a lot of them. They are all planning different scenarios for whatever may happen. And I have all the faith in the world in the creativity of our leaders, be it Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, be it Ward Manuel, or whoever it is that is making the decisions or part of the decision-making process, that they will be creative, that they will find, that they, first of all, will do what is in the best interest of the student athletes and the fans that will attend those games. That is one thing I know for sure. Second is that they will be creative, and if there is a way to play football, they will find it. If there is a way to compete in fall sports and not just football, they will find it. So it doesn't really answer the question, but I don't know that it's possible for me to answer that question right now. But I will say this is what I said about the NCAA ruling last night, and the one thing that came out of it was precedent. If for some reason we don't have college football or fall sports, they will look back on this moment that happened yesterday, March 30, 2020, as a moment of setting precedent for not only the spring sports, but the fall sports as well. And that went into this decision. Well, if we allow this, and for some reason we don't have fall sports, now you're talking about not just, some baseball players, some softball players, and some, you know, all of those sports are important. I'm not saying that, but the sheer numbers in terms of fall sports, and mainly because of football, because there's 120 kids on the team. When you look at that and you say, well, there's 30 kids or 25 kids that may be in their final year of eligibility, what does that mean financially moving forward? And again, if this is a decision that the head coaches and the athletic department have to make in regards to who are they going to allow to stay on scholarship, and how can they afford possibly having, right now it's 85 scholarships, but if they have to carry 100 scholarships into 2021, that's a huge financial impact. So the precedent has been set, and we'll see what happens.
Speaking of precedents, number five, how do you think the impact of this pandemic will affect the NFL draft process? Thinking about Wolverines like Cesar Ruiz and Ben Bredesen and Kalik Hudson, et cetera, et cetera. It's hard to believe we're just a few weeks away from this thing as scheduled to try to get going.
Well, I've talked to a few former head coaches. I had Wade Phillips, talked to him the other day, Charlie Casserly, my old GM at the Washington Redskins. And the one thing that I think comes out from hearing guys that are great evaluators and have been in the business a long time is you still have a lot of film to look at. And that it's going to force the coaches. We already saw coaches this year not go to the NFL Combine. They can get the numbers. They can know exactly what they are you know, buying into when they draft a player in terms of the measurables. But I think that if you are looking at a Cesar Ruiz who played at Michigan or a Ben Bredesen or a John Runyon, you can turn the film on and watch them play against guys that will also be drafted, whether it's playing against A.J. Epineza at Iowa or Chase Young at Ohio State. They can turn the film on and see exactly what they're going to be getting. And I think that this year's draft, in my opinion, will be a more high-quality draft in regards to what the teams are picking and who they're picking and where they're picking them, because it's going to be more based on watching film, watching actually what these kids are going to be paid to do as professionals, and that's play football.
Yeah, no doubt. Speaking of drafts, some basketball news. Isaiah Livers entering his name into the NBA draft. He's maintained the option to come back for a senior season, not hiring an agent yet. But your thoughts on Isaiah potentially going to the NBA?
I think it's a good decision because it allows him to keep every option open. And he has the option to come back and play at Michigan another year. As long as he's careful with how he goes about it and what he does, he has the option to listen to the basketball experts and find out where he may go in the draft. What are his prospects? I think this is a great tool for kids that may say go through this process like Isaiah Livers is doing, but they know in the back of their mind they're coming back anyway. And I'm not saying that's what Isaiah Livers is doing, but you get great input on, okay, if I'm going to be drafted in the second round of the NBA draft, why is that? Why would I not be drafted in the first round? And they will tell you, oh, you know, maybe we want you to be able to create a better shot, or we want you to play better defense. They will give you the specifics so that when you do come back to your school and you know, Isaiah Livers, it's obviously for Michigan, then you know exactly what you have to improve upon between this time this year and this time next year to move up in the draft and to be a better basketball player. So I think it's a great tool for those that are able to utilize it and still have the in the back of their mind, hey, I'm going to come back. I just want to find out what I've got to get better at.
Yeah, he said yesterday that he was going to test the waters regardless just for the feedback. Now, that doesn't mean he's definitely coming back, but this is one of those situations where I think he is genuinely on the fence. He genuinely wants to hear what there is to be said from NBA teams. But if he gets an opportunity and if he gets strong enough feedback that he's likely to get drafted, whether it's a second round selection or a first round selection, I have a hunch he'll go. And again, I think a lot of people were surprised when Jordan Poole went in the draft last year and then he was a late first round pick. It only takes one team. We'll see what happens with Isaiah, but regardless, wishing him all the best because he is as good as they come as a human being, and obviously he's a very good basketball player. Number seven, did you watch Tiger King?
Oh my goodness, Deb, I watched it. I've watched it a couple of times. Joe Exotic has his own filter on, what is it, Instagram and Snapchat now, and you can have the Joe Exotic mullet. You can have the eye, you know, ring or whatever he has in his eyebrow. It is so far out from what we deem as reality or our experiences that you'd think it's staged. But it's not. It is real life for these people that have these tiger, you know, zoos or these, you know, exotic animal zoos. And it is wildly entertaining. Every episode that you watch, when you think you've seen it all and you're like, well, you know, I don't have any idea what else could be shocking. It's almost like within the next 30 seconds of the next episode, you're shocked.
I just hope that my story down the road isn't like Rick Kirkham's, the producer of the show. So please don't be my Joe Exotic, John. Please don't be my Joe Exotic. Bacon fact. If you're looking to pass the time during our stay-at-home order, why not check out the board game, Mr. Bacon's Big Adventure? Here's the preview for you, okay? This is on the box. Join Mr. Bacon on a mouth-watering mosey through Meatland. On your journey, you'll have to navigate your way through the Mustard Marsh, cross the eerie expanse of the Wiener Wasteland, and sail on the Sausage Sea. If you make it past the deceptive detour of Vegan Alley and avoid getting grounded on Gristle Grotto, you might just make it to the Great Frying Pan at the end of the trail. Good luck on your high cholesterol journey, John.
Well, that Wiener Wasteland sounds kind of like a nightmare.
It's very dangerous.
That's a very dangerous part on the board. Be careful.
Not good for the elephants, no.
No, it is not. So with that, thank you, Brian. We will transition to Ben Herbert, the strength and conditioning coach, and the challenges of training 100-plus student-athletes all across America from Ann Arbor. I'm now joined by the strength and conditioning coordinator at the University of Michigan in the football program, and that's Ben Herbert. Ben, first of all, thanks for joining us, and we want to check in first and foremost and see how you're doing, make sure your family is safe and healthy. How are you feeling?
John, I appreciate it. You know, thus far, everyone's doing good. We're doing our best to master the homeschooling and find ways to extract energy out of my boys, but my wife and my boys are doing good. They're just plugging away, you know, like I saw day by day.
Yeah, it is. And obviously this is a very unique situation that we're in right now. And you're in a neat position because this is the time of the year. We had winter conditioning, supposed to be doing spring football and then into summer conditioning, but none of that is going on right now. So just tell us, what are some of the challenges that you have been faced with in regards to getting the information to the players, to the student-athletes, in regards to what you need them to be doing now to just, you know, either maintain the shape they're in or to progress in still preparation for the start of the football season?
You know what? I think the key for us at this point has been, fortunately, the type of winter that we were able to have. You know, our guys were very locked in. They were very in tune with refining all of the things that they needed to refine. You know, and that varies from position group to position group, individual to individual, and some of the things we wanted to work on collectively as a team. But the tone that they set in the winter, fortunately for us, was very positive, and it has created momentum into this situation, which now the way the attention to detail and the participation, you know, with a very high percentage of the team has been very good. The job for my staff and I is to make sure that we give them clear, concise information, that we're flexible. Different guys have different resources. And as this thing, you know, nationally has changed from day to day, you know, week to week, different guys have, you know, their access has changed to different things. So we've been very flexible, very creative in making sure some guys that have weights, you know, they have programs that reflect a variety of things that they can do developmentally. And from a training standpoint, to continue to progress or in the worst case scenario, to sustain the gains and the things, the positive things that they did in the winter. Some guys have virtually nothing other than their body weight, which, you know, there's a lot of things we do in our program. Your body weight is a powerful training tool when used the proper way. So, you know, making sure that we give them the tools and the insight and the information for them to then administer the work that they need to administer to be sharp and to be prepared when we go back to work, you know, together as a group in Schembecker Hall. And we don't know when that is. And quite frankly, you know, that is not of, you know, it's not at the forefront of our mind. What's at the forefront of our mind is, you know, what we can do today to be the best that we can be and to do everything that we need to do to sustain our level of preparation. And we just take it day by day until we get the green light, and then we'll you know, we'll be back to something that feels a little bit more normal. But in the meantime, we're embracing, current situation, and we're moving full speed ahead.
And I know you well enough since you've been back here in Ann Arbor that you're a guy that likes the face-to-face communication. You like to be able to read body language. You like to be able to for your players to be able to see your body language. What type of challenge has this been for you to basically move everything, whether it's online, digital, texting, email, and not have that face-to-face contact?
You know, one of the cool parts for me is that this is not my preferred way to work with guys to do business. You know, I you mentioned it. I really enjoy whether I'm having a conversation with somebody or, you know, let alone from a training standpoint, you know, that face-to-face and being able to be around guys and to feel the energy and the season to just to partake in what takes place on a daily basis is very important for what we do. But at the same time, you know, we talk and we reference multiple times throughout the winter, you know, your ability, a person's ability to be comfortable when they're uncomfortable. I told the team early on, as soon as this thing got started, was this was an opportunity for me. I don't prefer cell phone communication. I don't prefer emails. I don't prefer doing something virtual, but my preference is out the window. What I prefer to do has no bearing on what I'm going to do and how I'm going to attack a situation. And as soon as this changed, it was a way for me to instantly, I don't get caught up in what's ideal or what I like or any of those things. What we need to do is embrace the current circumstances. That's what we're going to do wholeheartedly. And our job is to create the best plan for our program to continue to move forward and to continue to grow in the most creative ways we can do that. And that's what we've been focused on.
We're 2 weeks into this new situation where nobody's allowed into Schembechler Hall, nobody's allowed in the weight room, and as you mentioned it, everybody has a different set of equipment, and so it's very individualized in how you deal with, you know, more than 100-plus guys that are preparing for the summer and fall camp and possibly, you know, next football season. Like I said, we're 2 weeks in, and nobody knows when this might end. How are you keeping guys engaged, not just in the first couple of weeks, but how will you continue to keep them engaged throughout the duration of however long this lasts?
You know, I think that's one of the unique challenges of this situation is doing something for 2 weeks is one thing. Doing it for who knows how long is something totally different. Do you have a plan? You know, my goal is to make sure that, you know, as we plan, I look at what does a training window for 20 weeks look like? You know, what does it look like? We're now starting training week number 3 and 4. But ultimately, as, you know, guys get exposed to things in the first 2 weeks, you know, that is what it is. And then it'll evolve into weeks 3 and 4, which may evolve into weeks 15 and 16. You know, hopefully not. We have no clue what the time frame will be, but there are things that you don't want to run out of ideas. You don't want to run out of new stimulus. How we creatively administer, you know, things from training block to training block, which now we currently look at it in 2 week windows, you know, making sure that we have a long term plan, making sure that we have a short term plan, and most importantly, how well does our short term plan, you know, morph into a mid-range or a long-term plan? You know, the answer to that has to be, it has to morph and transition well so that all of a sudden, if you're 7, 11, 14 weeks in, are guys, you know, have the habits that you set early on, are they now ingrained, you know, which will give you a level of momentum to continue to move full speed ahead. That's the key, is ingrain habits early on and just get guys in a new normal. And get them accustomed to doing certain things, and then just making sure you have creative ways to give them new challenges mentally and physically so that they stay engaged. You know, that's one of the keys.
Well, we want to keep them mentally and physically engaged, but there's also an emotional component to this. And when I was at Michigan, and a guy that you know very well, Mike Gittleson, was our strength and conditioning coach, and I've said this time and time again, I think one of the most important positions is the one that you hold right now, because no matter what the time of year, you are with the student athletes. There's no restrictions in regards to, you know, the amount of hours that you can spend with them or the days that you can spend with them. So you see them day in and day out where they may not see their position coach. They may not see Coach Harbaugh. And this is a, so you develop unbelievable relationships with the players and the players with you. What have some of the conversations been like in regards to just dealing with the unknown and trying to get these guys to understand that, hey, it's not going to be like this forever. Yes, this is where we are now, but I can only imagine that, you know, somebody going into their senior year, their fifth year, or even their junior year, and they're looking at it like this is a big moment for them. How have you been able to help them emotionally through this?
I think the key, you know, and this goes back to a lot of things that took place in the winter. The continuation of that, you know, some of the things that we're talking about, some of the things that we're emphasizing, you know, took place all throughout the winter program. So the guys that are at the forefront of the football team, you know, the guys that have been around, you know, that have been exposed to what a game day looks like, what an offseason looks like, what a spring ball looks like, what adversity looks like. You know, we have a really good group at the forefront, you know, that is, they're going to set the tone. You know, we want to make sure that those guys understand we are in any and every way going to support, you know, what they need, but making sure that, you know, they set the tone for the little things that take place on a daily basis. You know, guys holding one another accountable and making sure that, you know, it's a support. It's a 100%. Really, it's a support mechanism that, you know, we all have for each other. You know, you got young guys that haven't even joined our program that were going to join the program in May and June, you know, that are already now, you know, they've been able to engage and do some things with the guys on the roster. You know, guys have been really supportive of each other, and we're really supportive of the guys. You know, it starts with those guys at the top, and then it trickles down. They want to be contagious, and they have been very contagious in a positive way with the younger players and amongst itself. You know, everybody needs that support and that encouragement. And it's been, you know, it's not just old guys giving it to young guys. It's old guys giving it to old guys. It's young guys giving it to old guys. It's a real nice blend of, you know, guys supporting one another and guys challenging and holding one another to a high standard, which is, you know, what you want and what you need to have.
When you look at the situation we're in now, and I know we're only 2 weeks into it, but because we can no longer take for granted, hey, I can walk in the weight room at any time and see Coach Herbert, or I can walk in and see my buddies and we can talk about football, we could talk about all this other stuff. Have you seen this situation, because you're forced to communicate by all of those ways, whether it's video chat, text, email, phone calls, that this has brought the guys closer together?
Yeah, I know one thing that it's done for sure is it has enhanced the level of engagement, you know, with my staff and the players. You know, we do it so often face-to-face when they're in the building, specifically, you know, when they're fueling the body or they're training or they're in with Phil and the sports medicine staff. You know, we have a chance to interact with those guys a lot face-to-face, but now we can take that a step further, you know, and we're in a world of, you know, group chats, group texts, you know, where there's a lot of different things that have come up, you know, in a positive way through this type of communication, you know, that I wouldn't even have thought of. You know, it has definitely enhanced. It's just taken the communication and taken, you know, just the connectivity of all of us, you know, my strength and conditioning staff, that includes Abigail O'Connor and what she does nutritionally with these guys. And then, you know, the different guys and how we all interact on a day-to-day basis is constant communication, you know, throughout the day, day in and day out. There's never a day that, you know, an entire group is not in communication with one another at a variety of points throughout the day. So that communication has just been able to take another step, you know, in a little bit different realm. It's been, been cool to be a part of it. It's been cool to witness.
And you mentioned the team nutritionist, Abigail O'Connor, and we've had both of you on here on In the Trenches. We talked to Ben Herbert, the strength and conditioning coach at Michigan, and there are guys that it's imperative that they lean up. Other guys, it's imperative that they put on, you know, some lean mass. And so you've got a lot of different goals. How have you been able to work with Abigail to continue the process of, you know, designing something for each individual guy that they could still attain their goals that they set out to in January?
And the cool part is, you know, you mentioned the continuation. There's such a good foundation laid, prior to this with a lot of guys, and a lot of the guys specifically in the winter, you know, there was a level of emphasis on certain things. Those guys, and all guys just in general, in terms of fueling the body and taking care of your body, strengthening your immune system, what you do nutritionally, what your hydration habits look like, what your sleep looks like, it's all been a continuation. Now, you know, with the coronavirus, you want a strong immune system, you want a resilient immune system. So some of the best ways to do that is by what you do fueling-wise, your hydration, and then ultimately, you know, your body's ability to repair and recover from stressors. You know, your sleep plays a significant role. So our guys have been very in tune. Abigail, her ability specifically during these 2 weeks, to the response that she has gotten from guys in terms of how they share the meals and how she organizationally creates what she has created is very impressive. She's very in tune with what guys do on a daily basis, how they do it. And their level of communication is outstanding, you know, thus far. And I imagine as we move forward, it will not only sustain, but continue to get better.
So I'm going to ask this question for myself and every other parent that might be listening, because I know you've got a couple of young boys. I've got, you know, 4 young kids as well. And we're in this new situation where we're trying to do the homeschooling. We're trying to make sure that they get out and get enough physical exercise. What does the strength and conditioning coordinator for the University of Michigan football team, what does he design for his boys on a daily basis to get out there and burn some of that energy?
You know what? The main thing to kind of start your day off, I would say I have a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old. Get your bed. My 9-year-old is very receptive. His bed making skills have improved tremendously during this time. My 6-year-old hasn't quite embraced it to the same level, but once we check that box, you know, then it's time. I tell my wife, you know, we have to extract the energy. You know, keeping the boys in the house. Fortunately, we can go out and get in the yard or go get in the street, the driveway. Any ball, footballs, basketballs, tennis balls, soccer balls, any type of ball, guys are bouncing it, kicking it, throwing it. Just moving and being active and letting little boys do what little boys do. And that's, they want to run and down and have fun. And just being a part of that in any way that I can. Anything downstairs, we'll play games that we have in the basement. Loser has push-ups. Loser has up-downs. Loser has, you know, any of those things. So getting those guys, they really enjoyed involved in that type of stuff. Tying in some competitions to it, you know, like I said, anything we can do with a ball, anything we can do competitively, even if, you know, we're playing foosball or we're playing a video game, you know, loser has push-ups or up-downs or anything that can extract some energy. As the day winds down, so do they. That's the key. I don't want them sitting there, you know, 8, 9 o'clock with a whole bunch of energy. We want to do what we can do to get some of that energy out, and maybe some of the ways that have worked for my wife and I.
Is in the competition side of things, is there anything right now that the boys can say, I can get dad on this?
Not that. Hopefully I got several more years to stay out in front of them, but they're chomping at the bit every day. You know, their thing right now is WWE wrestling, and they pinned me in about 3 seconds, but outside of the video game world, they still got ways to go, and that's how I want to keep it for as long as I can.
I think that's the goal of every dad right now. So, hey, Ben, I appreciate it. Thanks for your time, and we'll check back in with you in a few weeks just to see how the team is progressing and how the communication is going and how these guys continue to grow and get ready for the game against Washington at the start of the season. Thanks for your time.
John, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks to Ben Herbert for taking the time away from his family and everything that he is doing to communicate with the student athletes, the football players in the Michigan football program, as well as Abigail O'Connor, the team nutritionist. And we're going to try and get her on in just a little bit as we continue to go through this new world that we're in. And Ben has done a tremendous job of motivating the guys, continuing to move forward in the goal of getting to Seattle and playing the University of Washington at the opener of the 2020 football season and being ready at any minute. I want to thank everybody for listening. If you have downloaded this podcast, make sure you give us some feedback. Make sure you like, subscribe, leave your bacon fact, leave your would you rather in the comments, and we'll make sure that we get to them. If you have anything else that you would like to hear about or hear from, you can reach me on Twitter. That's at JohnJanson77. We look forward to talking to you next time on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.